who he is. So we just got to learn to let the Holy Ghost take over and kick in and do what he needs to do. Praise God. I just thank God. As I present to you, I've already presented to you the Holy Spirit talking about the accident, but Holy Spirit is powerful, and although we are talking about these emblems, the Holy Spirit is a person. And although he takes these emblems for us to help us to go forth and be powerful, and when I read about all these emblems, man, we're going to be a powerful church. We are a powerful church. We can't lose. And all these emblems are working together. You come out of one to the other. Sometimes you don't know if you're in the one or in the other. You know, it's just flowing, you know, the river that is. You know, we got into the river of God last week. And we know Ezekiel had to get out the river. They took him back out the river after he got into it, and it was so deep. And he said, the one that carried him through the water said, "Do you see this?" Ezekiel said, "Yeah, I can't swim no more. I can't go across it. It had gotten too much." Ezekiel was seeing over into our time of the Holy Spirit and other times of the Holy Spirit, millennium and all this. And he like, whew. You know, when it was, and one thing I want y'all to remember about the river of God, each time the river was rising, it never went lower. It always increased. It always was an increase. Every thousand measure he measured, it increased. The ankle, the knee, the loins, it's increased until it got to just swimming. You had to swim, and then Ezekiel said, "Hey, you know, can't even cross that river." And they had crossed river many times. Joshua crossed, Moses, God made, they said, "But this river," Ezekiel said, "this river, I can't cross over it. He said, "But do you see it?" He said, "Oh, yes, I see it." And he rejoiced and he embraced it just as if, you know, he was there in it. He embraced it. And then the man that was walking him through it, just took him through it, took him back out, put him back on the bank. Because, you know, when we get into the presence of God, we don't have to get back out. We can stay in his presence because his presence is in us. The river is in us now. We can get in the river, and the river is in us. You can get into the presence of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit will take you through those presence of Almighty God. You can go as deep as you want to go. And the Holy Spirit in us is very fruitful in our lives. And though it's symbolizing the water and the river, we thank God that there is a river that flows. And we see Jesus in the 7th chapter of John when he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yeah. Praise God. Thank God for the river of God. Revival, healing revival. I mean, many different things God is going to do in these revival. And it's not going to be sinking back. It's going to be increasing. Praise God. The river is growing. The river is increasing. Praise God. We thank God for the river. But today we're going to teach on the wind. The wind of God. And when we think of the wind of the Holy Spirit, oh my God, that's another emblem. Emblems are symbols of the Holy Spirit. And all these are to help us in our walk. That's the reason we're taking our time and learning what they are, what they do, and how they're useful in our lives today. Because the Holy Spirit is still using these emblems for us today to be successful, to be victorious. Boy, when you read on all these emblems, I can see a victorious church.
Yes.
Not by my eyes, but by what the Holy Spirit is doing for the church. And how he manifests himself. We know he is a person, but he used these emblems to help us to be victorious.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to talk about the wind today. That's a little different. We've been talking about water, but we want to go to the wind. The wind is very important in this day and time, and in the church walk at this particular time, is because wind can represent breath and air. The wind of the Holy Spirit. When it blows on you, when it breathes on you, it gives you new life. It gives you life. And we know that the wind certainly needs to blow on the church so it can accelerate her, so she can awake out of her sleep. When God life her, you know, even more, we're going to study the book of Ezekiel. You know, we were there last week. We're going back there again this time just to get a snapshot of the wind in Ezekiel, so we can better acquaint ourselves with the wind, how powerful the wind can be, and what life that it can life and bring us. Ezekiel 37 chapter. And I'm going to read it. It said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, were very dry. Now, when Ezekiel is describing where God, and he always, in one of his sayings, he liked to say, in the hand of the Lord, in the hand of the Lord, in the hand. And he said, the hand of the Lord took him and put him in a valley and showed him these bones. You know, when you see bones, you know that there's no life there. And all he was seeing was the bones, and it was in the valley. Now, these people that he's looking at are alive naturally, but spiritually, they're not. They're dead. And if you're spiritually dead, naturally living is not going to be productive to you. So he said some of these were still alive naturally, but they were spiritually dead. And said, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. They wasn't just dry, but they were very dry. Meaning that they had been in this situation for a long time. Had just dried them. They were just very dry. And he said to me, son of man. Called him son of man. Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Now, Ezekiel put it back on the Lord. He said, Lord, you know. He couldn't give the answer because just Ezekiel himself, when he looked at the bone, no, ain't no life there. They can't live. These bones, But he put it back on the Lord. He said, Lord, you knowest. He know he could do anything. You know it. You know it. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto the bones. Prophesy unto the bones. Now the people wasn't alive. And some of these people, we're going to find out this is the whole house of Israel that he's talking about. But we're getting snapshots of the wind. We want to know what the wind can produce in a situation like this. And we know what it can do, even in our own situation. And he said unto me, prophesy unto the bones. Don't preach, but prophesy unto them. And he prophesied. And again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them. And you know what? God even had to give him what to say. Because Ezekiel probably would have said just what his eyes saw. They're dead. But Ezekiel is following what God said. And that's what we have to do. We have to open the word of God. I don't care what your situation or circumstance look at like. If God, say what God say. Here God is teaching Ezekiel how to talk to the bones. He told them, he said, say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that was one thing that the children of Israel wasn't doing. They wasn't hearing the word of God. Ezekiel is in captivity. Yeah. And a lot of these people are in captivity. At this point, I told you Ezekiel's in one half. Ezekiel is prophesying and telling the people that Jerusalem will fall and all that. Well, at this time, it had failed. The people had lost all hope. They didn't have no hope in God. They didn't have no hope because even the temple was gone at this time. And he said, and now he's telling him what to say. And you know, God still tells us what to say. But now you want to say what you see. But God is telling us what to say in his word toward our situation, toward our family. He said, say those things that be not as though they were. But we're like, I'm calling it like it is. And he said unto the bone, he said, O dry bone, hear the word of the Lord. That's what he's asking them to do. Hear the word of the Lord. See, the hearing is very important. They said the last thing that leaves your body is your hearing. These dry bones, how can they hear the word of God? God told him to prophesy to something that's dead and dry, to say, thus said the Lord, go into these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and he shall live. And this is what he told him to say. He said, say this unto them, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live. You know, at first he was asking Ezekiel, do you think these bones can live? But now he's telling Ezekiel, because breath is coming in their bodies, they will live if they will hear the word of the Lord. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. He had to keep emphasizing the breath. And he shall live, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And that means something is going to change in their life. They're going to know that he's God. And so Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. He said, I'm just doing what I commanded. I don't see no life there in the midst of these valley of dry bone, but I'm doing as I was commanded. It's like Peter said, nevertheless, at your command. He said, I'm just doing what I'm commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone, to his bone, bone to bone. Ezekiel began to see things coming together. You know, sometimes we can look at the church world as a whole and it looks, whoa, God, how are we going to be a church without spot or wrinkle and this and that, and, you know. But he said, prophesy. We are a prophetic generation. He said, we're to prophesy. When the outpouring come upon your son or daughter, what they going to do? They're going to prophesy. When it come out on the handmaiden, what she's going to do? Prophesy. When it comes out on the servant of God, what they going to do? They're going to prophesy. And guess what? The Spirit is going to tell the sons and daughters, the handmaiden, the servants, what to say. Because if you don't tell them what to say, they still won't be prophesying what he wants at that particular time. And, you know, here God is giving them hope while they're in exile, while they're in captivity. He's telling them, he's encouraging them what he's going to do. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. You know, Ezekiel was in exile too now. He was in captivity. And he needed this encouragement. He needed to be encouraged before he can encourage. You know, I have to tell God, life me so I can life your people. I have to be lifed. So Ezekiel had to see this to life him. Because he was down in the same situation, hopeless. Now the temple has fallen and Jerusalem is destroyed. And, you know, it just seemed like it's no hope there for these people. And he said, but there's no breath in them. I see all of the bone, all the thing it takes, but they're still not alive. They're still not. Still not living, no breath. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. See, Ezekiel could prophesy to these things himself, but when it came to the breath, he said, Ezekiel, I know you can't life them. I know you can't, you know, breathe on them. I know you can't give them that breath. So prophesy to the what? To the wind. Okay? Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind. He's telling them even what to say to the wind. Thus said the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Now this is the breath of the Holy Spirit that he's asking. He had to prophesy to the wind. Ezekiel couldn't just prophesy like he had been prophesying. You know, hear the word of the Lord and this like that. This is a part that only the wind, the breath, could give them the life they need. So he said, prophesy to the four winds. Over in Revelation, there are angels, there are four angels, and their job is to do nothing but to hold the wind, release the wind, 24/7. Hold the wind, that's just their job. And the four winds, for this, because they were scattered, he had to have the four winds, the north, the south, the east, the west, all of them to come to blow into this scattered, to this lifeless. They had everything except the breath. It's just like back in creation when God was creating Adam. And he had created all of this, but he still wasn't alive until he breathed into the nostril and he became a living soul. So here, the breath of God is coming once again from the wind. So the wind is so important to the church because he's going to blow, he's going to breathe on the church again. To awake her, yeah. to awake her and to accelerate her. So the wind is very important in our time, and for us to understand the power and the energy. In the natural, people use wind to create energy. And so wind is very important in our Christian walk. And when the Holy Ghost wind, give us that wind and breathe on us, you're going to see a lively church.
Yeah.
You're not going to see a church just struggling just to get to church. And like, I made it this morning. It was hard, now I tell you. I had a few difficulties, had a few pains. I barely made it. And some of them tell you, I can't get up out the bed. But that's going to come such a breathing, a breath. And sometimes wind is interpreted as breath. And it's going to become such a wind, such a breath on the people of God that it's going to awake them, certainly out of their sleep. Now, going back to Ezekiel, he said, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet. Praise God. Stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. They were ready for battle. They were ready for the enemy. When they got that fresh breath air, you know, some people, I used to hear my mom used to say, oh, I just need that second wind. It was just an old expression that they used to use when they were just tired. And they sit down and say, oh, I just need that second wind. You know, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Spirit is going to breathe upon the church again. And we're going to see a mighty, 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 mighty warriors. Now, we know further down, he said that this was to the whole house of Israel. But we got snapshots out of there about the wind. How powerful. If he did that for the dry bone, what will it do to the church? Well, we can see what the wind did in the book of Acts. I don't have time to go there. I'm out of time. But in the book of Acts, we see that they were all gathered in one place, one accord, came in a mighty rushing wind and fire. The wind came to give them a new life to the church. It was birthing the church. The wind and the fire came. And I tell you, when they went out of that room, they were different people than what they were when they went into that room. When they went into that room, they were weary. They didn't know what to expect, but they were just doing as God had commanded. They was waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. They had never seen the Holy Spirit before. They didn't know what to really expect, but they knew that they had been commanded to wait. Don't go try nothing, but wait until the Holy Spirit come. And they waited there. And when they did, you didn't hear them talking about, oh, Jesus, don't go anymore. They were like, hey, look on us. We got something. I got the name of Jesus. They were just different people when they got that breath.
Yeah.
That when they got that breathing, when that wind came in, when the fire came in, when the Holy Spirit came in, and so much took place there. They were quite different. When they went out, preached, and 3,000 got saved.
Yeah.
Over one little sermon that wasn't, it was just, he was just preaching what Joel and other things that, and he was telling them, y'all crucified him. And he was just standing up, but you could see the boldness in him.
Yeah.
and Peter and all the others. You see what that breath, that wind that came in did for a group like that. Mm-hmm. Well, we thank God for the wind again.
Amen.
I want y'all to know this morning the wind is blowing.
It's good.
It's blowing, church. And you're going to see a different church.
Yep.
Not very long. You're going to see a different church. You're going to see a church that's moving with the Spirit of God. A powerful church. And most of all, you're going to see what you saw in Peter, a bold church. You're going to see a church that's going to move outside the four walls.
Yeah.
But remember, the four walls are important.
Yeah.
You know, some people try to down the four walls. Y'all just in the four walls. The four walls is good for the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get out of the four walls. And they had to continuously pray and come back into the four walls so they can go back out. But they were some change. The wind changed. I mean the fire, the wind, the Holy Spirit. That's the wind of the Spirit, and it did change. And like I said, the wind is blowing. Let it blow on the church. We got to prophesy. We got to say that. But we sometimes see what we say. Oh, the church ain't like what it used to be. You know, you can't get them to do this and you can't. Prophesy different. Holy Spirit, tell the people what to say. Because they're saying it all wrong. When we say it all right, then that's what we're going to say. Amen?
Amen.
Blow wind, blow.